Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Everybody, welcome to the session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley, back in the studio again. You know, we weren't here for a little while, and now I'm knocking out some shows. We got some great brewers coming back in, which I'm super excited about. And today we have a brewer who's been on before, but now he's got an all-new brewery that I'm excited to talk about. We're going to be speaking to Youngwon Lee from Doka Beer. It is Doka Beer, right? Am I close with that pronunciation?
Yep.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's perfect.
Probably should have asked you first, Youngwon. We got Doka Beer in the studio today, and we're going to talk all about their beer. This show is brought to you by More Beer. Go to morebeer.com and check them out. Check out their Brewbuilt line of jacketed conicals. They're completely dope. It'll make you feel like a professional brewer. Pretty sure professional brewers use them, too, for their like pilot batches. Check that out. Or go to their website every day, because they have a deal of the day. You can get some really cool stuff there. So go check out their deal of the day. And thank More Beer for bringing you this show for all of these years they've been doing it. A couple quick announcements. The 20th annual Pleasant Hill Art, Wine, and Music Festival, also got some beer in there, by the way, is that's coming up real quick. It's going to be May 18th and 19th. It's in downtown Pleasant Hill, right near me here in California, of course. It'll feature a kids zone, craft vendors, local food trucks, live music stages, a premium wine tent, and, of course, a craft beer garden. You'll see breweries like Sidegate, Morgan Territory, Canyon Club, Epidemic, Oakland United, Headlands. There's a bunch of good breweries there. It's a two-day event, so you get the music, you get the wine, you get the beer. The event is actually free to attend, and then you just buy if you want some of the festival attractions, food, or drinks for purchase. You can go and search for Pleasant Hill Art, Wine, and Music Festival. That's how you find it. Or go to pleasanthillchamber.com/art-wine-music. pleasanthillchamber.com. You'll find it. Just search Pleasant Hill Art, Wine, and Music Festival. And then drink beer while you're there, too. And then just a quick shout-out to all of our sponsors who I want to thank. Sponsors like More Beer, of course, Williams Brewing, Blickman, Beersmith, 21st Amendment. These are the people who keep the show going for you, and we appreciate them very much. And you can also support the show by doing your Amazon shopping. Yeah, just shop like normal, but click the Amazon link on our homepage, and that helps us out a ton. You don't have to buy anything extra. Just do what you do. Y'all shop from Amazon anyway, so just do that. All right. Young Juan, that's it, man. The business is over. Now we can talk beer.
Sounds good.
So I'm super stoked to have you in here again. The last time you were here was with the Booth Brewing Company. Is that right?
The Booth Brewing Company.
Which was a Seoul-based brewery who had moved to California, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So the company was founded in South Korea, and when I joined, they took over old Lost Coast Brewery, their old facility up in Eureka.
Okay.
So that brought me back to the States to work here. In the craft beer industry. And yeah.
Were you living in Seoul before that?
Yeah.
Okay. As a brewer too?
No, back then I worked in wine and spirits industry.
Okay.
So I started my alcohol industry career representing wineries in, you know, for Asian market.
Got it.
When I was 19.
When you were 19? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
By accident. My grandma in Korea got sick, so... I was going to Cal. I took a leave of absence, went to Korea, and unfortunately she passed away after 1 month.
I'm sorry.
And I still had a couple of months to, you know, kill time, and it was good, you know, being in Korea back there.
I see.
And I still had time, so I was like, well, let me do a part-time job, and that was the wine consulting company.
I see.
And that kind of took off, so I eventually, our import business grew, and we became a brand importer for brands like Tito's, Stoli, Patron, Armada Brunac Champagne, and you know, a bunch of different wine and spirits brand.
Okay.
And I ended up opening a bottle shop, restaurant, bar, and you know.
Nice.
Almost everything except craft beer.
I see.
And somehow life happened, and I had a chance to come back to the States and to manage the Booth Brewing Company.
Okay.
And that's what really got me into the craft beer industry.
How old were you when you came here to manage the booth? Just curious.
That was 2017. So 28?
Still 20s. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a young
man. I'm 35,
man.
But I'm 16 years into it.
Yeah. Now it feels like forever, right? Nice. And then, so the booth is closed now, though, right?
Or... They are still operating in Korea.
Oh, okay.
But they closed down the U.S. business.
And when that happened, you had, it seems like at this point, fallen in love with beer. So you didn't want to just throw in the towel yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I was 28 when I came back, right?
Yeah.
And I had a pretty good knowledge about how kind of alcohol distribution worked.
Okay.
And I started going to these beer festivals and I really loved it.
Yeah.
And it was really welcoming and it was really fun to be there. And I really like the fact that how beer industry kind of is very innovative. I feel like it's the most innovative alcohol industry because the sheer amount of new products, flavors, and innovation you bring compared to when I used to do spirits, you would have one product and you would sell it, you know, your entire life.
That makes sense. And even in wine, you get one chance a year, right?
So. And you have a same brand, different, you know, terroir, or, you know, you have a different harvest, but still very... same in terms of like the core, you know, element of it. And I also noticed that I had some knowledge in alcohol industry, but I was the only Asian person pouring beer at all these festivals.
Okay, yeah.
And it was to an extent where people would look at me and say, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Let me go check them out.
Of course, yeah. That is so unique.
Right.
Amazing.
And, you know, even like whenever I went to deliver beer or any, you know, tap room or anything like that, I'll walk in and everyone's looking at me, hey, there's this Asian guy carrying beer to deliver. What's actually happening here?
That's so
funny. So one of my early day sales tactic was I'll come deliver during operating hours. I'll put it on the table and I'll just grab a pint. And then the bartenders are going, you know, will start asking me questions. And I have a pretty loud voice, so I would speak. And everyone in the room will be like chatting with their friends, but their ears are open to what I'm talking about. Right. And then as soon as I, you know, talk, and people will start getting four packs and, you know, start to, you know, drinking or asking me more questions.
What so that's a great how I kind of, you know,
started.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're obviously going to talk more beer. We've got a great beer in our glass already, but I wanted to change things up with you here a little bit today. I usually do this kind of get to know you segment at the end, but I'm going to switch it up. We're going to do it here in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And usually I ask a bunch of random questions, but these ones are going to be just about kind of food and beer, just so we can kind of get a start to get to know you. Yeah. You down with that?
Yep.
All right. I'm curious if you remember drinking your first craft beer and what it was.
It was actually a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Nice. Mine too.
That's when I just turned... You know what? Actually, I was not even 21.
Okay.
Anyways, I went to
Was it here or was it in
It was here.
Yeah.
Oh, California.
Here. Okay. Yeah.
And then I went to a convenience store and I wanted to buy beer, and that was the only thing that was sort of really stood out.
Yeah.
So that was sort of my first ever craft beer.
Did you like it right away?
I actually liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought it was so bitter and weird.
Right.
I obviously grew to like it. It's now my favorite beer. Mm-hmm. But I didn't right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I liked it for the first time.
Okay.
And then when I worked in, you know, wine and spirits and I decided to come back to the States,
yeah.
I came here for a business trip.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the booth team took me, the first brewery they took me to was Treehouse.
Okay.
So that was my second kind of crap. I mean, that was actually my first crap brewery experience.
And that's like a lot of unique flavors right there.
Yeah. And then back then it was their previous, you know, brewing facility. So I thought they kidnapped me because we got off the airplane and, you know, we got a rental car and they drove me for like an hour or two
to the
like
middle of nowhere.
And then we got there and there was like line of, you know, 100-150 people there.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's a unique first experience, really.
Yeah, it was, and it was like dead end. And then I was like, where are you guys taking me?
Right. That's amazing.
And they're like, yeah, you have to drink this. And I was like, I could only buy 4-pack? What kind of business are you running here?
Who makes money like this? That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, how about this? Now that you've been doing this for a while, can you kind of pinpoint, do you think that there's like a beer or a brewery or even a brewer that sort of inspired you the most to become a brewer yourself?
I mean, the Treehouse experience was just a little bit shocking.
Okay, yeah.
Because the way I thought about beer industry or the brewery or beer business was just totally different. And the way they operated from more heavily focused on just people consuming on the spot and just, you know, consume everything fresh.
Yeah.
And back then, they couldn't even distribute because they would just sell out at the brewery.
Amazing.
And I came Saturday, like 2 hours before they opened, and I was lying like number 205.
Wow.
And that was just shocking how you know, everything they did.
Yeah.
So it was kind of unfair because that's how I kind of started the whole experience. And then, you know, yeah.
Then you go to Sierra Nevada. I realize there's a completely different business model.
Right.
So that really kind of stuck with you about maybe how you wanted to become a brewer.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You did get spoiled.
Yeah.
All right. Now, sorry, just to get it like a, we're going to talk about all like the unique ingredients and that you like to use in beer and the flavors that you like to produce. It makes me want to know first though, like, is there a food, like a dish that you eat the most often? Like, is there something you go back to most often? Like, for me, like, if you could catch me eating pho like 3 times a week, is there anything like that for you?
Actually, I mean, speaking of pho, I have this Thai temple place in Berkeley that I go pretty regularly.
Okay.
They only open on Sundays.
Really?
They only take cash. And it's only open from like 10:30 until 1:30. And if you get to there at 1:30, a lot of food will be sold out.
Wow.
And they just have like a street style food and you just eat outdoor. They just have all these tables, folding tables up, and some people just sit down on their backyard on grass.
Okay.
A lot of students go there because it's also cheap and, you know, pretty good.
Okay.
So that's actually one spot that I go regularly.
So darn good Thai food.
Yeah.
Dude, what am I doing wrong that I'm not working one day a week like that? That's amazing. Like, you're probably the same. You're probably at the brewery 7 days a week. Like,
I know, yeah. That was not enough. I decided to move right next door.
No, that's right. You were telling me before the show that you literally just moved next to the brewery.
I could literally see the building from my house. I mean, my new apartment right now.
Dude, so that's a blessing and a curse,
yeah.
Right? Like, you're going to know if anything goes wrong. You're going to get there quickly.
Yeah.
But it's also hard to get away from work.
Right.
So.
Well, I never got away from work, so it just... I think I like it because I'm more efficient.
Okay. I like that. It's a good attitude.
Yeah.
All right, one more. And this one's a little strange, but if you could brew with anybody, in your brewery, by the way, you know, and they don't have to be a brewer, alive or dead. It could be, I don't know, family, a rock star. I don't know. If you could brew with anybody, is there someone you'd want to bring in?
Actually, he's a famous brewer, but Pete Slosberg.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, because it was quite interesting because I first saw him at, I think, California Craft Brewers Conference, and how they were talking about the history of craft beer.
Yeah.
And then they were showing him and then like his ads, and that's how I first found out about him.
Okay.
But obviously, I had never experienced a product or brand.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 2020, I was pitching our brand at the Brewbound Pitch Slam.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, he just emailed to our general email inbox. Nice. Say, hey, your rent is interesting. If you're in San Francisco, let's just grab coffee. So since then, I've been seeing regularly him just every probably quarter.
Yeah.
He'll give me some advice on, you know, how to operate. And I feel like, you know, now what I do, like, it's everyone's innovative and everyone's trying different ingredients and flavors. But what he did back then just was very different and unique. And the way he approached not only the product, but how he sold the product was also very different. And he's still very inspirational, or, you know, he would tell me ideas that probably if you get stuck in the beer business, you're like so isolated with the way you think.
Sure.
And he would always give me new ideas on that.
He's really great like that. He's such a creative mind. And to this day, and you know, Pete's been, by the way, listeners, if you don't know, Pete Schlossberg is Pete's Wicked Ales. I think you all know, but just in case. He has been retired for quite some time. He does not rest. He's always looking for folks like you, or he's out judging beer all around the world. Like he really just wants to keep active and doing these things. And I think he would say this, that he's lucky enough to be able to kind of do what he wants. Mm-hmm. And what he wants to do is stay involved, which is pretty cool.
And he also advises you know, a lot of companies at a nonprofit as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So because I think he was successful with the business, it doesn't just apply to beer business, but things in general. So
sure. Yeah. All right. Before we take a very quick break, let's talk about the beer in our glass. Mm-hmm. What's it called?
It's Jasmine Blue Ale.
Okay.
You would actually see number 36. So this is our experimental batch 36.
Okay. Got it.
Because we're Asian inspired craft, you know, brewery, and there is no such thing as Asian-inspired beer.
Right.
So we had to be innovative. We had to create all these new flavors and test out ingredients. And I didn't want to spend too much time trying to develop some kind of a flavor and that, you know, you don't know whether you're going to do successful or not. Spend a lot of time trying to design a label or, you know, come out with some fun name and try to put a lot of marketing effort. I felt like we had to be agile and try something different all the time. And you might not know whether this flavor is going to do well or not.
Mm-hmm.
I may not like it, but customers may love it.
Right? Sure.
So I wanted to keep that spirit. So we made this product line called just experimental, you know, batch series.
Okay.
And almost every month we just try a new thing, different thing.
So it's not like different types of jasmine. It might be a completely different thing.
It might be an IPA. We might have a stout, you know, previous one. What else did we do? We did, I mean, we have another blonde ale coming out under this and, you know, just... And what I did is that when people like it, that's when we actually developed a real label and launch it.
I see.
So kimchi sour was our actual batch number 17.
Okay.
So anything you see on our like sort of a colored label, they all used to be experimental beer.
I see. Oh, I love that.
So I was like, hey, try anything. And because I didn't want our team to be afraid of trying new flavors.
Yeah.
And then you end up spending a lot of time and money and then you fail.
Yeah. Right? And you don't want to be bogged down by that either. Like the resources it takes to put out a brand that you're not even sure. It's actually a super unique philosophy you have, because a lot of brewers will go, oh, no, this is the beer I make. I've been making it since I was a home brewer, and this is going to be our IPA, whether you like it or not. This is our IPA.
Yeah.
You're not really taking that approach. You're first going like, I don't know if this is going to be our IPA or not.
Right.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because doesn't matter how much I like it. It's the consumer who tells whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be part of that. And how can I make that more efficient, but also fun at the same time?
For sure.
So... With this, you know, if there's some fun things happening, I could just make, you know, that kind of current event inspired beer as well. So when there was a Korean Netflix drama called Squid Game came out and it was really popular, we decided to use the candy from there. I had to cook 50 pounds of this dalgona, the sugar melted candy, and put it into beer. I still have the scar from that.
Oh, no. I can see it from getting burnt, melting it. Oh, man.
I thought it would be a quick, you know, quick job, but then it actually took us about 13 hours, like three different pans, and then we couldn't do it fast enough, so I had to bring out all my camping gears and so we could have more heat. And it took us about, because usually when you make a small one, it's really quick.
Okay.
But we had to melt like a pound or 2 pounds of sugar at a time. So it would take us 20, 30 minutes. And when you're like, oh, I want to do a little bit faster, it will burn down. And, you know, this is what, you know, happens.
Oh my gosh. Now, whether or not the beer was good, was it hugely popular just from being from the show, like kind of based
on
the show?
Yeah, I think it caught attention.
Yeah.
But it was during still COVID era, so
okay.
It did, yeah. But this is what we do with the experimental beers, and when you like it, that's when we, you know, officially launch it. So we have a lot of people saying, hey, you know, I usually don't drink beer, but my wife loves this flavor. Can you please make it again?
Okay.
Or, you know, we get all these feedback. Now that we have a tap room, we have more direct feedback, so we use that to see whether we want to bring back this beer again or not.
So tell me about the Jasmine Blue Mill specifically, because I do like it. I would give you feedback that this is a great beer.
Yeah, so the base is pale ale, and we call it Jasmine Blue Mill. We use three different categories of jasmine-related ingredients.
Okay.
So we use two different hops that specifically gives jasmine aromatics.
Okay.
And we use jasmine rice and jasmine flour.
Nice.
Just for fun. So we call it Jasmine Blue Mill because we're kind of blooming those flavors in it.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, jasmine rice doesn't have jasmine, you know, aromatics in it. But
sure,
we added it in there for fun.
Put it. But is that also a fermentable for you, the rice?
It's, it's a puffed jasmine rice, yeah.
Yeah. So. I think it's obviously heavily jasmine, but the beer still comes through. It's not. It does. It's not. It's still beer flavored beer. I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But the jasmine comes through, and it comes through like, you know, a little bit minty. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's kind of really nice on the palate.
And
it's
pretty refreshing. I really like to drink it in a wine glass or any glass like this.
Okay.
Because you can smell it, and then the aromatics really comes.
Yeah, it comes through nice.
Yeah.
Why did you choose a pale ale base?
I mean, so we still, I mean, something light, and then you still were, you wanted to express the hop flavors as well.
Sure.
So I felt like that was a light style to kind of bring these flavors together.
I think it's a good call. That's a nice beer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're actually going to go backwards a little bit and find out about why Doka Beer and how you started and all of the facts we can get. Hang in there. You're listening to The Session, and we'll be right back.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos Kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos Kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
Welcome back to The Session. Thank you for hanging out with us. We are speaking with Youngwon Lee from, he's the chief Dokebi from Doke Beer. I was asking at the break if I was close to the pronunciation. I think I was. Yeah. But you're the founder of Doke Beer. And I wanted to just get a little bit of history of that. So we talked about your brewing history a little bit. But so the booth closes down, or at least the California version, in what year?
It still remained open for a little bit.
Okay.
But I left around 2019, June.
2019. And is it then that you decide you're going to open your own brewery?
Yeah.
Okay, right away, yeah.
So right away, I created a business plan, and I sought for investors to start, because starting a brewery could be very capital intensive.
Yeah.
And one other thing I decided to do is that, let's actually make it fun. We don't have a brewery, and I don't know how long or how many years it's going to take me to build a new facility or try to raise a capital or, do all that stuff. So I was like, let me reach out to some of the breweries that are out here that may have some extra capacity, and perhaps they might be interested in, brewing beer for us.
Okay.
So that's how we started. The name comes from, the Doke Beer name comes from the Korean mythical creature called Dokebi. That's a shapeshifter. They hide in objects during the daytime. They come out at night, hang out with people, eat and drink. So
we're not talking about like scary shapeshifters here.
No, they're actually more fun and, kind of positive.
Yeah.
And they would always help out good people.
Nice.
And then kind of punch the bad. Okay. So they've been actually throughout the folklore, and certain areas back then would also revere them as like sort of a god as well, deity, or they'll pray before they go on a, you know, to ocean or some other, you know, related matters.
Okay.
So, yeah, but they are also fun. And then, you know, wandering around, traveling around all the time and
playful. Yeah.
And, there's the legend is that you would hang out with them all night long. And then by morning, you would actually forget their face.
Ah.
So if you look at our branding throughout, there will be some mythical creature that's kind of hiding somewhere. So that jasmine blue male, you will see like the eyes and the flower. If you look at our kimchi sour, you will have like a Asian pattern. But within the pattern, there will be, you know, hiding faces in there as well.
Nice. Yeah. When I saw on your website, which by the way, folks, you can go to enjoydkb.com, enjoydkb.com, and check it out. I think it's in your about section. There's like kind of an old black and white photo. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy, I think, kind of smoking a pipe, yeah, maybe. Yeah. But all around him are these, and I almost thought they were photoshopped in, but it sounds like not. There's these kind of clay pots, and they have these like playful eyes on, and smiling faces and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so we added those.
Nice, nice.
But I think that's what I wanted to do as like the DNA of the brand, because we didn't have a brewery, right? We're wandering around and, you know, collaborating with different breweries to make the beer. And we're always trying out all these different ingredients that no one ever used for the beer. So I wanted to have that like built in as a DNA of the brand.
Nice.
That way, you know, even if we grow big, I didn't want to be a brand where, hey, we're too comfortable just selling this one flavor.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And, you know, if I do that, if I get comfortable, our team will be like, hey, this is not how you started the brand, right? And
right.
Let's go back to the roots. And that's why I wanted to do that constantly, because we may come up with a, you know, a great flavor, but also there are 10,000 different breweries that are also very innovative and trying out something different and new.
Sure.
And if we were to, I think, once you stop innovation, I think your brand will die.
Yeah.
And if anyone was to, you know, beat us, I wanted my new flavors to beat my old flavors.
That makes sense. Yeah. I think, like, you know, back to our first craft beer, Sierra Nevada, you could kind of be an example of that. They've never stopped innovating. Like, they've never stopped creating. Mm-hmm. You know, you go up to the Chico Pub and there's, I don't know, 30 different Sierra Nevadas on tap.
Yeah.
It's not all about that pale ale. So, okay. And then, so your philosophy, though, is obviously about sort of changing, staying on top of things, but it's specifically to use Asian ingredients of all kinds, not just Korean, but right. Is that was your whole kind of goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went to all these festivals and I was always sort of the Asian person.
Yeah.
And when I worked at the booth, we had the Asian angle as with the name and then the design or some characters. We did test out a couple of ingredients, but we were very like American craft beer style. We were doing hazy IPAs, we did pretty good IPAs and different, you know, stouts and whatnot. This time, as I was thinking about the brand, I was like, you know what? Actually, I'm actually going to go all out Asian in terms of the name, branding, design,
yeah,
and the flavors that we create, because I think there was a lack of kind of representation, or, you know, it was really hard to see any Asian person. Obviously, we're in California, so anytime I go to beer festival, I'll see a bunch of, you know, Asian people,
sure,
very diverse.
Just not on the brewer side.
Yeah, but when you do like a beer conference, even in California, and put the industry people together, it'd be very white.
I see, right? Yeah.
So, and I thought it's important for a brand to be unique and need to have its own angle.
Yeah.
And now that we're living in an era where there are 10,000 breweries, how do you actually stand out as a brand? How do you, sure, make a brand that's, you know, make you remember and have an impact?
Yeah.
And it was sort of all together. It was more of a kind of, hey, if we do Asian-inspired product, no one can really copy us, mm-hmm, probably because there's no Asian person. I mean, you could try to copy it.
You've got a little time anyway. That might change, but you got to jump on it.
Right. But now it's becoming more of a mission.
Okay.
I want to represent Asian culture through the beer we make.
Yeah.
And also show that there could be different style and different people making it.
Sure.
And also encourage other people, or, you know, trying to diversify the industry.
What's the reaction been so far? And both, I mean, like sort of hyper locally there where you are in Oakland, but maybe, you know, even further out, what have you found?
I think a lot of people find it very unique and different.
Yeah.
So I definitely, we get a lot of kind of sort of spotlight or attention whenever, okay, we go to festival.
Okay.
Because, you know, you go to other breweries or you go to beer festival and you would have, you know, at least 10 to maybe 30 different breweries. And everyone's mostly, or the whole tap lines are usually very IPA driven.
Sure.
Or, you know, pale ale, but still to a similar degree.
Like kind of West Coast IPA or West Coast hoppy styles.
Right.
Yeah.
And we go there and they probably can't even read the logo. They look at us, what's happening here?
I can't read the logo. Well, yeah. I mean, you have the name written underneath, right. But the logo we can't read too. Yeah.
And we would have like a beer menu that says like, you know, Yuzu Blonde, Kimchi Sour, or Jasmine or Calamansi and all these different, you know, flavors and names, and people wonder, what is that?
Yeah.
And like, what the hell is kimchi sour?
Of course.
Like, I kind of know what kimchi is, but what the hell is, like, you know, beer with it?
Right.
And they'll come to us and be like, hey, can you just pour me just one sip? I don't want to have a whole pint.
Of course, that's what they say. Yeah.
I'm just scared to try it, but I'm so curious. So I waited this line and then, you know, wanted to try it.
Yeah.
And they tasted it. It's like, oh, this is actually pretty good. Give me, you know, top me and just give me a full pour. And
right.
They go out and then they talk about it. And obviously, you go to a festival, you mingle with other people, and they would ask you, hey, which brewery should I go try? It's like, oh, go to a Kibir.
Yeah.
They're different.
Yeah.
They're unique.
I love this. So you've kind of getting like an almost instant positive reaction just because. By the way, the beer has to be good underneath these unique ingredients, which right. I so far I think it is. We got to try some more. But I mean, wouldn't you agree? You can't just throw these amazing ingredients into shit beer.
Yeah.
So you had to learn how to brew first.
Right.
So you have that going for you. You already had learned.
We have a talented brewing team. So
okay. They're
the one. And Aaron and I met him at the Booth Brewing Company.
Okay.
So he's our head brewer. He joined me. And when I decided to launch my own brand, thankfully, he was okay to work with me again, so he joined. But yeah, by default, what we want to do is that we want to use traditional beer styles with something just a little bit more extra drop of culture and spice.
Sure.
So that's what we like to do. But yeah, by default, you need to have a good beer. And, you know, now 10,000 different breweries. If you don't make a good beer, I mean, it's already highly hyper-competitive.
It is, yeah.
And you need to, even if you make amazing beer, the chance of, you know, going down is also real.
Yep.
Right. So I think you have to be good at every single aspect of it.
Sure.
And, you know, for us, we don't want to just pretend like we're a beer company and just put a lot of stuff and, you know, make a whole kind of thing out of it.
Right? Yeah, so, absolutely.
Like you said, you know, I think as a beer company, beer is, you know, most important.
Absolutely.
By default.
Well, let's try some more beer.
So the next beer we're going to try is Calamansi and Jasmine Tea Lager.
Okay.
So this was actually inspired by a Filipino chef, and he gave me idea to make this one. And so Calamansi is a Filipino sort of lime that gives citrus flavor, and we added jasmine tea in there.
It smells amazing. Yeah, it's like the best lime smell I've ever smelled. Because it's more than lime. It just has so much more citrus coming out of it, right. Too.
So you would start with the citrus flavor from Calamansi.
Okay.
And you would have an undertone of jasmine tea.
I see.
And if you actually drink this with something, you know, maybe have it over a salad because you're having like citrus, you know, food.
Yeah.
You would actually get more jasmine tea flavor out of that.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Where does that go? Where does all of that go in the beer? Is it pre-fermentation? Is it post-fermentation?
The teas we brewed together.
Yeah.
And then the fruits we would add as a puree.
Mm. So fermentable also. Yeah. You have to account for that.
Right.
What's the ABV on this?
This is 4.5.
Okay.
So something light, easy to drink.
Yeah. Do you think that most of your beers are sort of food pairing type of beers because of these unique ingredients? Because I think you're right. I would love to have a salad in front of me right now.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't intend on being, you know, food pairable, but it just ended up always being sort of, because I like to be kind of light. Also, when I, you know, was in the spirit side of it, I don't like it when bartenders add so many flavors. I mean, it may taste good, but you kind of lose identity of, you know,
because sure.
you may end up like adding 20 different ingredients in there.
Right.
So I try to keep focus on, you know, maybe at most 2 to 3 ingredients.
Okay.
But, and I really like it when those flavors you can recognize and stand out.
Yeah. That's this beer. I think that's a perfect example of this beer. So as we're tasting through, you had mentioned you didn't exactly want to just go build a brewery. So did you start contract brewing first?
Yes.
You did. Okay. But at some point, like now you have a brewery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which used to be, I think, Federation Brewing Company.
Yep.
Were they contracting for you before you took over? Not them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that brewery went up for sale after you're a contract brewer for some time. Mm-hmm. And you pounced on that?
Yeah. So I started with the idea and then came out with the concept and we launched a brand with a pop-up store. Mm. But fortunately, that was 2020 February. So soon as we opened our spot in San Francisco, we had to, you know, shelter in place happen. And I started making, you know, just door-to-door deliveries.
Oh, wow.
So I used to drive 200 to 300 miles a day and just, you know, knock on doors and deliver.
Wow.
I lived in Oakland, so, and our warehouse was in San Francisco.
Okay.
So I'll start in Oakland, go to San Francisco, pick up the beer, fill them in my Prius, and I'll hit up houses in San Francisco and then go to San Mateo and then
they were
Sunnyvale.
Ordering from you off a website or something? Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, back then we just, I mean, people say, hey, people drank more beer, but those are only applicable for big beer brands that are already in supermarkets.
Yeah.
We're like so young that we didn't even have any, you know, distribution presence.
I see.
And online order. And I was like, well, the only thing I can do is that, you know, get out there and deliver.
Yeah.
Let's not charge shipping, I mean, delivery fees because I'm driving Prius.
Yeah.
And
right.
I don't have to pay overtime because I'm driving by myself.
Right.
So let me just do as much as I can do. And since I'm going down to South Bay, you might as well as try to hit everywhere as you're going down and then try to hit everywhere as you're coming home.
Make a loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on a long day, I'll go to, you know, do that and then do San Jose, Almaden, Fremont, San Ramon, Walnut Creek, and then come home to Oakland, and
wow.
it'll be like 12, 13 hours a day.
Was it working financially, or was that just kind of a break even just to keep things out there?
I mean, it was working financially because it was just me.
Okay.
Because I had to let everyone go.
Yeah, if you had to pay somebody, it wouldn't have.
And literally, and I was like, well, you know, I can't deliver all these places in over five days.
Yeah.
Just for me to cost and save money and be efficient.
Right.
Let me just deliver everyone at once in one day.
And because you were sort of designing the beer, but another place was brewing it, that freed you to be the delivery guy.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay.
So I did that for like a year and a half.
Okay.
And and as we grew, I would fit 50 cases of beer to Prius.
Oh my God, you ran that Prius to the ground.
Yeah, it becomes a low rider.
Yeah, I've done that
before.
It's
almost like Lamborghini.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Do you still have this Prius? Did it make it?
No, I actually got into two different back-to-back accidents in December.
Oh, no.
So I had to retire the Prius.
Okay.
But I drove, good 150,000, 160,000 miles with it. So.
Yeah. I think you need to make a tribute beer for this Prius. It did you well.
Yeah. So we did that. And as we were growing, and the limit with the contract brewing is it's easier when you're making same product all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're trying different flavors all the time, it was also, you know, challenging to, you know.
Do you mind if I ask who your partner was?
No, we work with like easily 6 different breweries.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were all cool with you using just whatever ingredients you threw out there.
I mean, we used to get a lot of questions though. They're
yeah.
like, hey, what is this? Like, are you sure you could put this much of this one?
Yeah. And you're like, I've done this before. Yeah. I know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but one time I was like, and then they've been asking all the time. I was like, just put it in. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then actually we miscalculated. So we just had to dump the beer.
Oh no. Your first, I told you so from them. Oh no. Okay. So you keep growing like that.
Yeah. And at one point I was like, well, you know, we could do contract brewing, but, you know, if we just focus on core product and then just make it, you know, again and again, I think it's okay with the contract brewing business model. But when you still want to be innovative,
yeah.
I feel like you do need to have your own, you know, place you call home.
Sure.
As well as we go to all these beer festivals and everyone's like, hey, where's your tap room? I want to go to your drink your beer.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times you might see kimchi sour being very different and unique and will catch your eye, but it's going to be hard for you to try it. You know, or buy a 4-pack at a retail shop if you've never heard about us.
Sure.
So I felt like it was about time for us to have our place that we could also continue to make brew different and innovative beer.
Okay.
But also a place where people can come and enjoy and taste our beer.
Okay. And so that's when you find Federation apparently up for
sale.
Even
the year before, I was looking for a place and trying to open up a tap room and 2022, and then
which was still bad.
I signed the lease with the seller or a tenant, and then somehow the building owner decided to just, you know, cancel the whole contract. So that fell through.
Okay.
We had another brewery that we were, you know, kind of working towards and bidding, and then that kind of fell through. And then the Federation opportunity came.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And it seems like a good home for you now. You've been there since 22 or 23?
No, just 1 year and 1 month.
1 year, okay.
Yeah, we moved in there April 1st of last year.
Got it. And you you took over the whole brand, too. You didn't just buy the brewery, but you kept the Federation brand at
right,
that point.
Right. We continued to brew beer because it was just, we didn't overlap in terms of flavor.
No, of course not, yeah. But maybe it was, did you think that could just be sort of a already established revenue stream to allow you to focus on your own?
That too, but you know, we wanted to learn how the whole system worked.
Okay.
Because even if you move in, I mean, even if you're the beer expert, every facility is different and you just have to dial in and kind of learn.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do that. And the brand was already, you know, producing beer and ongoing, so we said, hey, we are not going to be able to hit 100% capacity with, you know, Tokyo Beer, you know, right away. So
sure,
let's do that and keep the brew house busy.
Okay.
As we are getting more involved and getting used to the brew house as well.
Okay. And is the location just a tasting room? Do you have a restaurant there or what is it?
Unfortunately, we don't have a kitchen, so okay, it's just a tasting room.
I don't know. But be careful what you wish for. That might not be unfortunate. Kitchens are a pain.
Yes, it is pain. But, you know, we were, I think, you know, for me, I really want to have a kitchen because okay, that is something that I could also bring extra culture into the brewery that we run.
Sure. You know, so that makes sense.
I would love to.
Is there space for that? Do you think that's down the road?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
We might just get a food truck.
There you go. And then, yeah. Oh, your own food truck.
Yeah.
See, you're a smart guy. Just like I think you said earlier, it's you like efficiency. And a food truck's efficient. That's the way to do it.
No, I mean, I couldn't even imagine going through like permitting process and trying to carve out a section of the brewery and build a kitchen. I was like, probably not going to work.
Yeah. Oh, and the cost and the, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, what do you want to try next?
Kimchi sour.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, folks, if you're local, we have the kimchi sour on tap at Hop Grenade right now. And it'll probably be here for a week or so, I think. Our sours last about that long. All right, so tell me about the kimchi sour. It sounds like it should be self-explanatory, but tell me anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, we were thinking about making new flavor, and our brewer is like, hey, what do you think about kimchi sour? And I was actually afraid to launch it. And I was like, well, kimchi sour. I mean, you know, and kimchi is a Korean traditional dish, and it's a Napa cabbage, and you ferment it. And as you ferment it, it turns more sour.
Okay.
So we're like, oh, well, if we were to start a kimchi inspired product, it should be a sour beer to start. And just to make it more fun, our, you know, brewer makes homemade kimchi at home.
Oh, perfect.
So we pulled out lacto strain from there, and we've been growing that. It never died. We've been growing it for over 2 years now.
Nice.
And we use that to make a kettle sour, and we add Korean gochugaru, which is chili powder,
okay,
and ginger in there. So you will start with something tart, but not so sour that it's unpleasant. I think we're just hitting the right balance where you could enjoy it as it is, or, you know, drink it with some food, or especially like fried chicken. And you get the ginger note, and then you would, as you finish, you get the bit of heat and spice on the back end.
That's what I was going to comment on too.
Yeah, we didn't want to make it spicy where, like, as soon as you drink, it's, you know, spicy.
Yeah,
because, you know, when you get it, you're going to order a whole can or a whole pint of it.
Sure.
So we wanted to make it enjoyable until the end of it.
Yeah.
And then it kind of builds up towards the end.
And it really does sort of come from the back too. So it's not just the end of the flavor profile. It's the end of the palate. Like, the spice to me starts really at the back of my throat, at the palate, and starts to move forward too. It then kind of moves forward across the tongue.
Yeah.
I think you're right. It's like just the right amount of sourness, which helps with the heat. Don't you think? Yeah. Like it kind of helps quell the heat too.
Yeah.
Without the sour, I think this would be almost a chili beer. Like, it would be a lot hotter than it is.
Right.
Does the heat, where is it coming from? What ingredient?
The Korean, the gochugaru, which is a Korean sun-dried chili powder.
I see. Okay. This is delicious. So one of my bartenders here is one of my bar managers, actually. Mm-hmm. When he found out you were coming, he was like, oh man, I hope we get the kimchi sour. Because he had it somewhere and it just kind of blew his mind. It's very unique sour beer. I'm sure you hear that all the time. That it's not just like it's not just in your face sour. And I think because it has some of those other things happening, heat included, citrus, it makes it like a very, not just an acidic sour. Does that make sense? Because a lot of them can just be an acidic sour, and this is not that.
And for me, usually that, you know, I love anything to do with the sour flavor, but when it's too acidic sour, it's hard to, I mean, I don't know. I just can't enjoy it.
Okay. Is this your best-selling beer?
The Yuzu Blonde is also pretty well popular. Kimchi sour is something that, you know, people hear once and they will never forget.
Yeah.
You know, they may forget our brewery name. You know, there was one time I went to a beer festival in LA. I just drove down there because it's like, how do we actually promote our brewery? I mean, beer brand.
Right.
We don't have a brewery. No one can visit us. We don't have that many retailers. How can I promote it? And, you know, one year I went to 50 different festivals.
Wow.
Just drove anywhere and everywhere.
In the Prius.
Festival. Yeah. And literally I would just drive to on a Prius, and because we can't really fly with the kegs to LA.
Sure.
So we would just load up the Prius with the half barrels.
Right.
And drive, and I'll go with the ice box, and, you know, overnight at a hotel, I'll just put the ice into the ice box and just keep it cold.
Right.
Or I'll just go to a random bar and be like, hey, can you hold our keg for one day?
Please.
So I used to do that.
Did people say yes to that?
I mean, it was hard to get it, but there were a few spots that, you know, did it for us.
So yeah.
I really thanked them.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And this was like during COVID time, like,
as right.
We're just freshly coming out. But I went there, and then people really loved it. And then 1 year later, we came back. We weren't even distributing there. And they're like, oh, are you the kimchi sour guy? Because
wow.
I'm like the only, you know, Asian guy there. So they're like, oh, that must be that kimchi guy.
Yeah, it must. There's no other guy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was quite funny because even here, when it was like a first beer festival since the pandemic,
yeah.
And it was my first time attending in maybe 2-3 years, and I was wearing a mask and I was wearing a hat, and then I was like very concealed. But people could look at my eyes, right? And be like, oh, that's got to be young one.
Kimchi sour guy.
Right?
Oh, no. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. This beer's something else. I think it's delicious.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do this. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, it looks like we got a couple more beers to try, which I'm excited about. So hang in there. We're talking to Youngwon Lee. He's from Doke Beer. Doke Beer. He's the chief Dokebi. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Their website features real-time inventory, which means if you can put it in your cart, they can guarantee it'll ship the same day by 4 p.m. on weekdays. Want easy and simple electric brewing? Check out the new Series 2 Mash and Boil, featuring an elevated grain basket so you don't have to calculate sparge water. Williams also features the full Kegland line, everything from Brewzilla to Maltzilla, and a huge selection of duo-tight fittings. Looking for a kegerator? Look no further than the Kegland Series X and Plus kegerators, which feature 4 and 8 keg capacity in a compact footprint, and free shipping to the lower 48. Interested in distilling? Look up their proven Williams American bourbon and brandy kits, as well as complete distilling equipment packages and conversion kits for popular systems like the Mash and Boil, Anvil, and the Grainfather. Check them out today. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection.
Welcome back to the session. We are still hanging out with Youngwon Lee from Doke Beer, and we are still trying some beer. Before we get right back to that, I want to let you know the new beer from 21st Amendment is out right now, Raspberry Funk Sour Ale. We were just talking about a sour ale here on the show. Raspberry Funk is out, got a light raspberry flavor, sweet fruit notes, and a groovy sour baseline. If you want to learn more about it or figure out where to get it, go to 21st-amendment.com. My friend Sully over there is just making some great beer. And this is their latest seasonal. So go check out some Raspberry Funk Ale from Raspberry Funk Sour Ale from 21st Amendment. All right. What are we trying now?
Yuzu Blonde.
Okay. Tell me about the beer.
So,
Blonde Ale base, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then in Asia, a lot of people know it as yuzu.
Yuzu. Okay.
It's a very common ingredient. And you would actually see in a lot of... I guess cooking, and it will be used as citrus. And yuzu is like sort of a in between lemon and orange.
Okay. Yeah.
And in Korea, we call it yuzu. So maybe in Korean, we just named it as a yuzu blonde.
Got it.
And this is something that's very citrus, bright. And as you can see from the can, it's like very yellow in terms of like the flavors or the fragrance you get. Light blonde ale, I think, again, this is something that you could drink it over lunch or something refreshing. Or even every time we go to beer festival, that will be very popular on a sunny, hot day. And then you're tired of drinking all these bunch of IPAs and you come here and something, you know, refreshing.
Absolutely. Yeah. What does the fruit look like? Does it look like an orange or a lemon?
More like lemon.
Okay. Yeah. So just yellow and it's got like a pith and the, okay. So.
And a lot of times we also make a tea out of this.
Oh, yeah.
With, sweet tea out of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The aroma right away, it kind of, I went straight back to lime. But as you're as I tasted it and as you're speaking, I think you're right. It's closer to orange and like you said, sort of smack in the middle of a lemon and an orange.
Yeah.
Can you eat the do people just eat the fruit by itself or is it too sour?
It would be more on the sour side.
Yeah. Okay.
So we wouldn't eat it as a fruit, but we use it for a lot of cooking or the peel or make a tea out of that. Like a
Is this your most popular beer?
One of, I mean...
I could see this as being hugely popular. Yeah. And again, another one that's great with food. I do think you're right. It's just like a nice refreshing beer, but I want to have it alongside of almost anything.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a palate cleanser too. It's not sour, but it has like this those kind of lemon sour components to it.
Right.
Like I can get it in the back of my cheeks like a sour would, but it's not a sour beer. It's a pretty unique experiment, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice beer. And what's it called again, just so people can find out?
Yuzu Blonde.
Yuzu Blonde. All right. If you want to go look up any of these beers that we're talking about and find out where to get them yourselves, go to enjoydkb.com. By the way, clever use of a short website name when you know damn well that most of us are not going to remember Doke beer, right?
Like, and it was unintentional.
Oh, it was?
It was intentional, but unintentional, because I filed a trademark for our Doke beer name.
Ah.
And there are people that just, buys a domain whenever
somebody bought that?
Yeah, they bought it. I was like, oh, let me just register it, because I was like, no one's going to, I mean, this is a made up word by me, right?
Okay, yeah.
So there is no such thing, word like that. So tokyobeer.com, there's no one ever, going to try to buy it.
This is incredible.
So it was available. I was like, okay, well, let me buy it. And then by the time when I was about to launch and try to buy the domain, somebody already bought it.
That's
insane. They listed for $1,000. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let you win.
Just on principle.
Yeah. And it was going to be hard for people to spell it anyway. So how do I actually make it easier and then memorable? I was like, well, I want people to enjoy our product, our brand.
Right.
And let's make it enjoy DKB.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's better. I think you did better.
But you know what, though? After 1 year, they didn't renew. So I bought the domain.
Oh, you
so
did.
If you type tokyobeer.com, it will go to enjoydkb.
See, F them anyway. There's such a scam trying to do that.
Yeah.
We've got one more beer to try, and I know we're a little short on time. Mm-hmm. But I did want to mention, too, do I have this right that this month, but certainly by the time this show publishes, this month is Asian American Pacific Islander
Heritage Month.
Heritage Month, right?
Right.
Do you guys do anything special for that? Besides being you as a great brewery, as a tribute to it?
Right. So I'm involved in a lot of AAPI-driven, community events. So we'll definitely be there to represent and, support the community.
Yeah.
We will also bring our one of our old beer called Minari Wheat Beer. And I brewed the beer after a Korean movie that won an Oscar.
Oh.
Which was Minari, and it was depicting a life of Korean immigrants in 1970s.
Amazing.
And the title was Minari, which is a Korean for water celery. So we use Minari, the water celery seed, to make a wheat beer.
Okay.
3 years ago. And we decide, now that we have a brewery, let's bring it back.
Heck yeah.
So that we're going to have a release party next week. And also, it kind of overlaps with the Pleasant Beer Festival.
Oh, yeah.
But we are bringing a Chimek Festival, which stands for Chi for Chicken, and Mek for Mekju, which is beer. Chicken and Beer Festival.
I'm down.
In Korea, there's a big Chimek Festival, and it has about a couple of million people coming every year.
Wow.
And, with everything going on, and, especially our, being a brand coming out of pandemic, and, being where we are, there was a lot of Black Lives Matter movement and Asian hate crime and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I was like, What can I do to bring the Black and Asian community together? And, you know, our brewery, we also host Hella Coastal. So
first black-owned
brewery there, and we're coexisting together.
Nice.
And, like, how can I bring the community together? And, funnily, the only common thing between Black and Asian people, it was fried chicken and beer.
Okay.
So I was like, well, let's do the fried chicken and beer festival.
I'm so down
for this.
So
we did it last year during the AAPI month.
Okay.
And then we're doing it again this year.
When's that?
May 18th.
Okay. May 18th.
So,
yeah. I'm looking at my calendar right now. First of all, I love fried chicken. I have a family recipe that we've been perfecting for like 2 decades. Mm-hmm. And then second of all, I love your beer. So this sounds like a festival right up my alley.
So we'll have about, I think, 15 to 20 different breweries.
Okay.
As well as last year, unfortunately, we were only able to secure 5 chicken companies.
Okay.
But this year, I think it will be way over 10. 10
wow.
to 15.
Dude, if I had a commercial kitchen, I would submit my fried chicken.
Definitely.
But I don't.
We have a Korean fried chicken, Japanese fried chicken, Thai fried chicken, Chinese and Black. So it's going to be very diverse breweries as well as fried chickens.
I'm so down for this. What a great idea. All right. And this will be on your website, I'm sure, as mm-hmm. well. So if you can't remember the date, which is, by the way, May 18th, you can go to... What is it again? I loved it. EnjoyDKB.com. Go to EnjoyDKB.com and you can look up the events there. All right. What's our last beer before I let
Milk
you go?
Milk stout. So this is chai-inspired. So we made a light stout with cardamom and green peppercorn.
Oh, wow.
So it's milk stout. You will start with something, a little bit of sweet note, mm-hmm. but then you will finish kind of smoky with the spice.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very enjoyable. And always, stout is not the best-selling category. But this, for us, is very steady. And people come to our festival and booth, and they'll be like, hey, this, like, I want to drink stout, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think this appeals to regular stout drinkers, or whether you're, you know, non-craft beer, but Guinness drinker, and you're, you know, heavy in, you know, Guinness dark beer, and then they taste this. I love it.
Yeah.
If you're a whiskey drinker, they also like the smoky.
Because of the smoke,
of it.
Yeah. It's got a little wood, got a little smoke. It's funny because right when it hits your palate, it just tastes like a milk stout. That's it. I don't get anything else. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you swallow,
right,
all the rest opens up. It's really incredible. Beautiful thing about beer that you have to swallow it to get the rest of it. Yeah. Not like wine. You are good to move from the wine and spirits into beer.
Yeah.
Well, this is a wonderful beer. All of them were wonderful. Now, of course, I've known you, Young Juan, but I had not, to be honest with you, I had not tried your beer since you started Doke Beer, and I'm really happy I did now. I'm happy we have it on tap here at the Hop Grenade. Like I said, you can come grab the Kimchi Sour. We've also got 2 different beers in cans available here. So if you want to come out to the Hop Grenade, you can find it here. Or, of course, go to enjoydkb.com, and you can find out where to get it from there. Man, keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me here. It brings back memories. Coincidentally, I had my old staff here who came 5 years ago with me.
Oh, yeah. You know, did they pop in to say hi tonight?
No, I mean, he didn't even know.
Oh, really?
He just swung by, and then we just ran into each other. Hey, and then
I'm amazing.
Here for the podcast. He's like, oh, remember that? I was actually here last time when you did it.
I saw them, but I thought they were here for you. That's funny. Well, listen, you're doing great things. Pete was right about you. You've got good ideas. You have a unique brand, and the beer's good, man. I'm glad you now have your own brewery and your own home to really share this with people. So
thank you.
My next move is to come check out the tasting room.
Definitely.
Probably during the Chicken and Beer Fest. Yeah,
right,
I think that's my jam. All right, folks. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. Once again, just go to enjoydkb.com. Don't forget about the 20th annual Pleasant Hill Art, Wine, and Music Festival. Just Google that. It's here in Pleasant Hill, California, and you can. It'll be a fun time. You're going to have some fun there. Thanks to all our sponsors, including Beersmith. Beersmith 3 is out right now, and you can get a free trial. You get your free online trial by going to beersmith.com. Pro brewers use it. Home brewers use it. Everybody uses it. So go check it out. Thanks to you for listening. And I'll be back real quick. Our next show, I've got Faction Brewing Company with Ghost Town. They did a collab beer. Both of them won some medals this year at the World Beer Cup. And we're going to talk about all of that and more on the next episode of The Session. Thanks for tuning in. Take care of yourselves and your beer. The Session is a production of the Brewing Network and brought to you by More Beer. Check them out at morebeer.com. Find more content and live video of this show on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brewingnetwork.
For sponsorship opportunities and information, please reach out to advertising@thebrewingnetwork.com. To reach our hosts, contact feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.